Before we begin, just let us commit this time to the Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come here again, Lord, this morning, Lord God. Just come into your presence, God, to just come, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to pray, Lord God, to just learn more about your word. So, Father God, I just commit this time to you, Lord God. Just pray that you anoint my lips, God. You just flow through me, Lord God. And Lord, you say, Lord, what you have to say, Lord, to your people, Lord, in this time, Lord Jesus. So, Lord God, I just humble myself, God. Lord, I must decrease, Lord, so that you increase, God. So, Lord, just come, Lord Jesus. We invite you here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the message that I'd like to speak this morning is called Dying to Live. We're going to read from the book of John, chapter 11, verse 17 to 27. John, chapter 11, verse 17 to 27. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. This is Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." So the message that I'd like to speak about this morning pertains to the resurrected life. I was actually struggling as to what to speak this morning, but I felt that as we are getting close to Easter, as we are in the season of Lent, it does seem fitting to speak about the topic and to proclaim Jesus as the resurrection and the life. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," this is one of the seven I ams that Jesus had said in the book of John. In the book of John, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine, and I am the resurrection and the life." So in old Jewish culture, the reader or the listener will have no doubt in his mind that John was unequivocally stating that Jesus was God, because by Jesus proclaiming and saying that "I am," he was saying that he himself was God, because that was the very name that God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. So as we just read this passage here, explaining a little bit of the context. Jesus was nearby Bethany, and then someone came and said that his friend Lazarus was dying of sickness. But here Jesus actually delayed his journey for 2 days. He delayed his journey for 2 days before making his way to Bethany, upon which he actually found Lazarus already dead. And then he revealed himself as the resurrection and the life, raised Lazarus from the tomb, demonstrating that he has 100% power over death. And we also know that Jesus himself, he rose again from the dead on the third day. So as I continue, I would like to split this message into two parts. The first part is a little bit more of a teaching. And I want to talk about the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. And then the second part, part two, I would just want to speak a little bit about living the resurrected life, or how to live the resurrected life. So first part, just let me focus a little bit on the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. Just the other day, I was watching this movie. It's a little bit of a B-grade Hollywood movie. It was called Risen, starring, I think, Joseph Fiennes. So it was actually a story in the days of the aftermath of Christ's resurrection, shown through the eyes of a high-ranking Roman soldier who was just trying to consult all the events that were happening in Jerusalem at the time. It's actually quite a good movie for its content. And then what really moved me, though, was a scene where one of the Roman guards who was charged with guarding the tomb of Jesus, he was describing the scene or what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. And he was just saying that how a great light came out of the tomb and sort of just exploded out, and everyone was just taken aback. So I just thought to myself, wow, what a glorious event that must have been on that very day when it was time for the Son of God to be resurrected, when Holy Spirit came to raise him from the dead and gave Jesus a resurrected body. How glorious and how marvelous that sight would have been. And it would just show that even death could not hold Jesus captive. And as Paul writes in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So what is the significance of the resurrection? I'd like to speak on this for a few moments. I have a few points on this one. There are probably more, but this is what I could think of just in this time. So point one, Jesus had to die because he was God and he was blameless. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, when Peter was preaching his great sermon after Pentecost, he said, Jesus, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, which is Jesus, should be held by it. So as you recall, because of Adam's sin, death came into this world. But we see from this verse in Acts that it was just a logical impossibility for Jesus to remain dead. Because it was not possible that Jesus, being the Son of God, could be held by death. And if Jesus had not risen again, it will also show that he is under the power of death. So this is a relatively straightforward point. And as you also know that Jesus had no sin. He was in this world, came to this world, but did not sin. And he overcame everything in this world. But then one was only crucified or was punished if you had committed some sin. As we know, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. So if Jesus died and did not rise again, it will actually then show that he was worthy of death and deserved to die, and that death had a legitimate claim over Jesus. But we know that this is not true, right? Because Jesus had no sin. He did not deserve to die. And so logically, by default, if Jesus did not rise from the death, he could not be the spotless Lamb of God. He could not die for the sins of the world and be our Savior, because he could not even save himself, let alone the world. But we thank you, and we thank God that Jesus was the blameless Son of God, who was our sacrifice on the cross, and who died, and he rose again, because death had no victory and had no power over him. Now, going on to point number two, my favorite, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. Point two, after the resurrection, it was game over for Satan. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, from Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 to verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Now, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Read verse 15 again. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I really love this verse and the phrase public spectacle here, because it really just shows a really rich imagery around the victory that Christ won. And it also just portrays a little bit of this sense of humiliation, actually, on the losing end, because Jesus made a public spectacle of these principalities and powers. But it is exactly what Christ did through the work of the cross. The entire kingdom of Satan was thoroughly defeated and humiliated, and they have no more power. You see, before the cross, the kingdom of darkness had more power to operate in this world. But that all changed after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And you remember that what Jesus said himself in John chapter 12, verse 31, just before he was going to the cross. He said, now the ruler of the world will be cast out. And I also have read some reports that during some deliverance sessions, the demons just were saying, yes, remember the time what happened at the cross, because after the cross, it was all over for us. There's a little bit of disagreement here sometimes, maybe, when you hear some teachers, or some preachers, some people saying that Satan thought that he had won when he managed to put Jesus on the cross and crucify the Son of God. And the whole demonic realm was celebrating after the crucifixion. But I think actually it was actually quite the contrary. I think the kingdom of darkness was well aware that it would have been game over if Jesus had completed his mission on the cross. And why? Because Jesus himself rebukes Peter, right? When Peter tried to prevent him from dying, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That was when Peter tried to dissuade him from dying. And even on the cross, there was this very constant temptation to come down. The people were mocking him. He said, Jesus, if you come down from the cross, we will believe you. But that was not the way where God the Father had ordained for people to believe in Jesus. His mission, which was actually set forth at the foundation of the earth, was to be the lamb slain for the salvation of mankind. You can read that in the book of Revelation. So anyway, I think in fact that Satan was using every method to try to tempt Jesus into failing this mission at the cross. But we thank Jesus that he had completed this mission, and as a result, he defeated the powers of darkness and once and for all humiliated Satan and his demons and became the salvation for all mankind. So actually, if you know those vampire, do you remember those old vampire movies? I've actually never seen one of those movies, but I've seen those snippets or the short clips, right? The only way to nullify a vampire or a zombie is actually to show them the picture of the cross or the crucifix, if you remember those cheesy movies. And actually, I think, though, there's actually some truth in that. Obviously, as Christians, we approach these things by faith. It's not just by, you know, that bit of wood that you show. But you know, when you're attacked by the evil one, you can always remember, right, this quote or this verse from Colossians chapter 2. And you remind, right, the evil one and the force of darkness of the victory. And you can remind yourself of the victory that Jesus had purchased on the cross. And at the cross, he had disarmed all principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. So thirdly, the significance of the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection equals power. He had to ascend back to the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. The two verses here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. This is actually a very powerful statement, because Jesus is saying here that we can actually do greater works than this, than what we had seen in Jesus' time. And we could only do this because he's going to send us, or he has now sent us, the Holy Spirit. You must remember, back in that time, the Holy Spirit was not freely given to all people. It was only after Jesus ascended back to heaven, and then God the Father then sent Holy Spirit to help us all and pour him out on all flesh, onto everyone or every Christian who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit today is able to help us today via the gifts of the Spirit. And we can see the operation of the gifts within the church. And church life will actually be very, very different today, if not for the resurrection. Think about all the different gifts that we are operating in. You have the gifts, the power gifts like healing, prophecy, maybe speaking in tongues. You have those like exhortation, the gift of giving, gift of teaching, gift of leadership, etc. Right? Church life would be very different if we didn't have these various people doing these various things through the power of the Spirit. So these days I've been reading the book of John and Acts. And the prayer of my heart, is actually just reading all that, is that God will give me more power. And as what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, greater works than these he will do. And I just pray that that will become a reality in my life and in my generation, that we will actually see that within the church. See, brothers and sisters, I believe there is actually so much more, actually, that the church is not experiencing in terms of the power of God. It's just like what Pastor Rob Lee said a few weeks ago when he was here preaching. He said, we are too content to see small things like God giving us a parking lot at a shopping center and say that it is a miracle. Well, it's actually not a miracle. It is a gift, it's a blessing from God, but it is not a miracle. So what are the miracles that Jesus did, right? If you see, or what are the miracles that the apostles did in the book of Acts, that is what I want to see. And even more than that, because Jesus said we can do greater works than these. And obviously, I have not attained there yet, obviously. But in this season, I'm actually just praying for more of God's power to flow through me. Not just for fun or for entertainment, but so that people will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. And more people will come into the kingdom of God. And you yourself can pray for that too. And this should be the cry of our hearts today. So point three, what Jesus is saying, right? Having finished my work, I have gone back to the Father. Yet now I'm giving you Holy Spirit so that you can join me to proclaim my kingdom here on earth. And you will do greater works than I did. And that is the result of his resurrection. His death on the cross brought about salvation and atonement of sin for all mankind. But his resurrection allows us to live a different life and enter into the power of God in our life. So now I'm talking about, or just talked about, the Holy Spirit helping us in our lives. It will actually be fitting to turn to the next part of my message. How do we experience the resurrection power in our lives? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, quite a famous verse written by Paul. That I may know, he writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Which brings me to the second part of message, living the resurrected life. So part two, I believe there is only one way to experience the resurrected life, which is to die. That's why the message is dying to live. As we read in the book of, just now in Philippians, Paul says he wants to know the power of his resurrection. But he also writes that he wants to share in the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to Christ's death. As we also recall in the opening chapter, the text we first read in John, Jesus delayed his journey and allowed Lazarus first to die. And only is after Lazarus died that Jesus proclaimed that I am the resurrection and the life. And similarly for Jesus, to show that he is the resurrection, he first also had to die and then rise again. This is also why I love the symbol of baptism. You go down into the water, which symbolizes yourself being buried and dead with Christ. And then when you come out of the water, it symbolizes that you have a new life and you are resurrected with Christ as well. So for those Christians who have not been baptized, I ask you to get baptized ASAP. Because there is no excuse, and there's no such thing as being like not ready or not even not having a story to tell. In the Bible, normally straight away, once you believe in Jesus, you got baptized. And that is actually the only criteria, I think. The only criteria is you must believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then get baptized. Because if you want to experience the resurrected life, you also will need to symbolically join Christ into his death and then come out alive, like being resurrected with him. Just on this topic of death, I don't really like talking about death because it's actually personally painful, not from a physical perspective with friends or family, because I have not really experienced any tragic family loss yet, but rather from a spiritual perspective. There is always this struggle in me. As I mentioned, when I pray to God for more power, the responses and the challenge that always God asks me back is, how much am I willing to die to myself to allow God's power to work through me? And to be honest, I'm quite afraid, because there are many areas in my life where I feel that I cannot let go, even to this day. The many areas that I'm still struggling, you know, to die to. But to be honest, I believe that you cannot live, or I cannot live, the resurrected life if I don't want to die to myself. Because the flesh and the spirit cannot compete. For God to increase, I must decrease. But how often and how many times is there this war within myself between the flesh and the spirit? Even simple things like, it's time for me to pray now, but no, I don't want to pray because I have other things to do. Or even doing things that are not pleasing to God, or taking a cavalier attitude towards his kingdom, towards salvation. Or even giving up certain habits or even dreams in my life. But then we cannot kid ourselves. We cannot expect the power of God to move through us, or more of God to move through us, unless we die to ourselves. And I know that I'm definitely not there yet. There is so much that I need to die to in my life. I also like to spend a few moments here talking about dying to our hopes and dreams. And I'm sure that many of us want to live the resurrected life in those circumstances where you have broken hopes, dreams, aspirations, and all that. But I want to let you know that sometimes these broken hopes and dreams, they are put there by God to reveal something about your heart and to allow you to die to them so that God himself can resurrect them. See, all throughout the Bible, there are examples of people having to die to their God-given dreams and promises. First, you have Abraham having to sacrifice Isaac. Then you have Joseph and his dreams, how he needed to be in prison for a long time before those dreams came to pass. Or how David had, he was anointed at a very young age when he was a youth, but then that he would be king over all Israel. But he had to wait a very long time. He had to run away from Saul and go through that whole wilderness experience before receiving his kingship. And then how Moses, how he was meant to be the deliverer of Israel. He knew that from a very young age. But then he was driven away into the wilderness for 40 years before God could call him out again to become the great deliverer of Israel. And even the barrenness of the women in the Bible, Sarah, Hannah, before the birth of the child, they experienced long, long periods where they just had nothing. So I believe that for the significant promises of God, before it is fulfilled, there is always that valley of death experience, that barren experience that one has to go through. And it's only in that season where God can work through your character to refine it, to mold it, to build it, before releasing the big promise in your life. Because you know, sometimes these significant promises can become idols and become a singular, relentless focus. But that is not what God wants. He wants to give you those things, but first He wants to let you to learn how to handle it. See, for God to increase, you must decrease. And this process sometimes I find is a long, multi-year, or even multi-decade experience. But when you come out of it, at the other ends, my friend, you will find a new reliance on Jesus. See, God is doing something in my life that I think actually is a multi-year process, I think. And in this time, though, I'm actually finding that I'm learning to trust Him just a little bit more, step by step, year by year, just a little bit, step at a time. And as I look back through the beginning of the journey, this is quite amazing, because I never thought that I could have arrived to this state of mind, to this mentality or this thinking. But going on this slow journey, while it's painful, and it's actually still painful because I have not arrived there yet, I can see, though, some form of improvement. And I also hope that actually God sees some improvements. So I'm speaking this morning about some people who have been praying a long time for maybe a spouse, for a job, for healing, something dear to your heart, or maybe even the fulfillment of a ministry or some spiritual thing that God has given you. It is not, if it has not been fulfilled yet, take heart, because God is causing you to die to your God-given dreams. And He's bringing you on this journey where at the end you can say, Lord, I don't need to have those things. Lord, You are more than enough for me. See, unless a grain of seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. But take heart, because at the right time, at the end of the journey, if you walk with God closely, He will resurrect those God-given dreams to you. So actually, I'm just going to end it right here. So as we close soon, some of you have been struggling with your hopes and dreams, and some of it has died. And I believe that Jesus wants to remind you today that He is the resurrection and the life, that He can bring it to life again. Or maybe some of you here are worried about the future. But you know, because of Christ's resurrection, we have a Savior who has won it all. And He said that He will be with us to the end of the age. I think yesterday during the retreat prayer session, at the end, someone, when we were praying during the close, someone said that it is actually not a coincidence that we're having this retreat for the first time over Easter. So now I believe that, yeah, if you're going for the retreat, you know, God is going to do something special in your lives, and He's going to remind you that He is the resurrection. He has caused you to die to many of the dreams in your life, or in many situations have died in your life. But God wants to remind you that He is the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, that there is that resurrection power. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right, it says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, well, our faith is in vain, and our faith is empty, and basically we're all just like wasting our time here. But friends, because Jesus rose from the dead, we can believe everything that He says, and who He says He is, and all that He said is true. Or maybe there's some of us here who are praying for more of God's power to work through them. My friends, as I have mentioned, the only way for that to happen is for you to die to your flesh, because the flesh and the spirit keep warring, but the spirit must win. So when we pray for power, we need to die to ourselves. So as Sandeep plays the closing song, let us just commit our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to show us what He wants to speak. Ask Him to comfort us if we are worried. If we are facing a dead situation, ask Him to bring it back to life. And if we're praying for more of His power, ask Him where we need to die to make room for Him to increase. Let us pray for these few moments. Our newborn baby
baby we wrote that song about is sitting up here, and he's 31 years old, if you can believe it. And feel the pride and the joy that he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days. I don't care what the CNN headlines say tomorrow. We can face uncertain days. Sing it. Because
he lives,
I can face tomorrow.
I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives.
Because he lives.
All fear is gone.
All fear is gone.
Because I know.
Because I know.
It's because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. So now as we turn our attention out to the community focus, praying for those who are undergoing cancer or cancer treatment in our community, let's just pray with this faith that because he lives, God, he has overcome all these sicknesses and this disease, and he has overcome cancer. Let's pray for those who are sick but need of salvation, God, who need to know what Jesus had done for them on the cross and to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray that in this time that they will just realize that they need a Savior and they will turn to Jesus. Let us pray. Pray for our members of our community who are undergoing various sicknesses. Just pray for God's healing to just come upon them. Pray for members of our community who are looking for work. Just pray that God will resurrect their, I guess, their careers, and in this time they will learn to trust Him and they will use this time wisely. Turn our attention to the Saturday prayer focus. Let's pray for the missions in North Korea. We got to open the doors for ministry in that country. Also pray for general missional opportunities and partnerships throughout Asia, and also for the persecuted church throughout the region in North Korea, in China, other parts of Asia, and also for the Middle East as well. Let's just pray. Let's pray for all the SP weekend gatherings that are happening. Let's just pray, more importantly, that the Holy Spirit will just lead those gatherings, and then Jesus will just be glorified in those gatherings, in those meetings. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for two things: the new building and the benefactor to come. And that is just the hardware, having the physical meeting place. Let's also pray for the second thing, which is the software of the church, the hearts of our people, that we'll all be ready to go into what God is going to call us to in future. So let us just pray. Let's lift up and pray for the house churches that are meeting today: Mawan, McDaddy, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. And let's finally lift up the SP annual retreat, the speakers, congregation, the organizers, the venue, the logistics, even the staff, which is organizing this. Just pray, God, for God to just move mightily in that place, and that His angels would just go before us to open up the way to the Hyatt over there, and everything would just go smoothly, and that Jesus will have His way in our hearts, in our minds, in that place. Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank You, Lord, that we can be here this morning just to pray, Lord God, just come and seek Your face, O God. to worship you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, because that you live, Lord God, because you died and you rose again, Lord. We have this power in you, Lord God, with this power in this Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you have sent, Lord, to us, Lord, to help us, Lord God, to teach us, God, and to help us to pray, to comfort us, God, in our afflictions, God. So, Lord, we just want to lift up, Lord, all these prayers to you. God, may this rise up, Lord God, a sweet incense, God, I pray, to your throne room, Lord God, and that you will, Lord, accomplish your purposes, God, in your time, Lord God, and in your mind, Lord God. That all these prayers, Lord God, will be heard, Lord God, and answered, God, in your time. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for today, Lord. We love you, Lord, in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.